Hello, my friends. Welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. This is the Friday broadcast, and I always try to remind you on Friday that Sunday's coming, and I hope that you'll be worshiping somewhere this Sunday. And if you are in the greater Hampton Roads area, I'd love to invite you to come worship with us at Hickory Ridge Community Church. And we do two services on Sunday morning. We do a drive-in church at 9 a.m., and then we do an inside worship at 10:30. So we'd love to have you come and worship with us. And the address for the church, Hickory Ridge Community Church, is 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South in the Hickory section of Chesapeake. Just keep on going down South Battlefield. And if you enter North Carolina, you've gone a little too far. But we are the last church in Chesapeake before you enter into North Carolina. We'd love to have you come and join us. As a matter of fact, the theme of our church, the motto of our church is where Virginia and North Carolina meet God. Because half our church lives in Carolina, half our church lives in Virginia. And we'd make you feel right at home, I promise. And I know you have a great time. If you come worship with us, we believe in teaching the Bible. We believe in living the Bible. We have a great worship team that leads us in worship. And we have a whole lot of things happening. And if you're a man listening to me, we are very interested in making men in the image of Christ. And we believe that God has raised up men for such a time as this. And so we have a ministry we call Iron Men. Iron Men's ministry meets every second Saturday of the month at 7 a.m. Now, I know that's early. We'd love to have you come for our men's breakfast every second Saturday at 7 a.m. We meet at our Family Life Center. We have a meal together. And we always have a speaker that comes. And as he comes, he always shares some good things with us about how to be a better dad, a better husband, how to be involved in your family. All right, well, today I want to do an exciting study on how you can be transformed. And as you've been listening to the broadcast, you know that we're going through a new series called Transformed. So yesterday we talked about how to be transformed in our area of finances. And today I want to talk to you about how to be transformed in your relationship with Christ. In other words, how I can be in sync with God, how I can be in sync in all decisions that I make. So I want you to know that I've been praying for you this week as we go about this week. And if there's anything that we can pray for you about, I would be happy to pray for you. I do a thing called Breakthrough Prayer, and it's Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday nights at 8 o'clock on Facebook. I would be happy to mention your prayer request. If you'd like us to pray on our Thursday morning prayer team, you can send me a prayer request. You can do that through email, and my email address is ccorbett, C-C-O-R-B-I-T-T, at hrcc7.org, hrcc, the number 7.org. Send me a prayer request. We will put that on our Thursday morning prayer list. And I want you to know there's a team of us that pray every Thursday morning from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m., and we would be honored to pray for you. We actually put those prayer requests on a spreadsheet, and we have literally thousands of prayer requests that have been answered through the years. So the question today is, how in the world can I be in sync with God in everything that I do? So as we look at Romans chapter 1, or 12 rather, verses 1 and 2, we're told that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So I want to look at a very popular story in the Bible, and it's the story of the prodigal son. It's found in Luke chapter 15. And as we look at the story of the prodigal son, it begins by saying a man had two sons. Now I want you to know that both of these sons were rebels. Now, one admitted it, the other didn't. And before we get too far into this common parable, and I know that most of you probably are familiar with the story of the prodigal son, I want you to know that all of us, like sheep, have strayed. All of us have left God's path to follow our own. All of us get off track, yet the Lord has laid down his life for our sins. And he likens us to sheep, and there's no dumber animal than a sheep. And sheep are born with a tendency to wander. So prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. As we look at the story of the prodigal son, it's actually written to the Pharisees. Now, as the Pharisees are hearing this story about the prodigal son, they're thinking, we are not the prodigal. They're thinking they're the older son. And yes, they were the older son. But both of these sons are rebels. Let's go through the story. Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse number 12. The younger said to his father, I want my share of the estate now before you die. What is the younger son saying? The younger son is saying, I wish you were dead because the only thing that's holding me from getting your inheritance is you. I want my inheritance now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his estate of wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed up all of his belongings and moved out to a desert land or distant land. And there he wasted all of his money in wild living. About that time that his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields, and he began to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs with looked good to him, but nobody gave him anything. Now we see here that this young man had burned his bridges with everyone. He couldn't go back to his friends. He couldn't go back to his family. He had burned all of his bridges. Verse number 17, when he finally came to his senses, i.e. conviction. When conviction finally settled in, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father, I say. Here's my prepared speech, Dad. Dad, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. What is he saying? Hey, Dad, can I have the room over the garage and you don't have to treat me as a son? Put me on a payroll and I'll work as a servant. Verse number 20. So he returned home to his father, who was still a long way off. His father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And he didn't even get to finish his speech because the dad interrupted in verse 22. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet and kill the calf that we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this my son was dead and now he's returned alive. He was lost, but now he's found. So the party began. Now, isn't this amazing? I love this story of this prodigal son because I see in my mind a dad who's heartbroken over a son that has been lost, a son that is living a wayward life, a son who has lost everything from his self-respect to his wealth to his health, and he finds himself in a pig pen. But the father does not go to rescue him out of that pig pen. Now, maybe you're listening to me today and you have a son or a daughter who is not living as they should be living. I want to encourage you to pray for them, but I also want to encourage you not to enable them in their sin. One pastor put it this way, you can wrestle with a pig and you might defeat that pig, but when you get in that pig pen with a pig and you wrestle that pig, you're always going to come out smelling like a pig. As you think about one who is living the lifestyle of a prodigal, they must come to their senses. Oftentimes, we delay that convicting power of the Holy Spirit because we go in there and we bail them out too quickly. And we delay the process of them coming to their senses. The father did not go to the pig pen to rescue his son, but I want you to know he was looking for his son to come home. It's like the Motel 6 commercial. I will leave the porch light on for you. The father was looking for his son to come home. He was expecting him to come home. He was praying for him to come home. And the Bible says that, well, the son was a great way off. Now think about this. He's an old guy, and I imagine that his vision is not as strong as it was when he was a younger man. But he looks out and he says, that kind of looks like my boy. I can't quite make out his face, but that silhouette, that's my boy. I could tell by the walk. Yeah, he favors the left side just a bit. That's my boy. And this old father hikes up his robe and he runs. And I don't know about you, but I always find it comical watching old people run. Here we have an old father running after his son. The son begins his prepared speech and the dad doesn't let him finish it. And he says, it's celebration time. I want you to know that those of us who are prodigals, we understand this and we love the way it's handled. But those of you who are listening to me who are not prodigals, this kind of rubs you the wrong way. You listen to the story and says, what have I got to do to get attention around here? You know, I don't run off and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I've never abandoned my family. I've been the responsible one here. I go to work every day and I get in the farm every day and I'm here right beside my dad every day. Well, you see, the older brother, even though he never left, he did leave in his heart. He was filled with resentment. He was filled with bitterness. What do you think about transformation? Transformation only occurs through truth formation. The prodigal spending his money or his resources freely and recklessly was wastefully extravagant. His beliefs determined his behavior. He thought life is short. Let's eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we are going to die. Charles Haddon Spurgeon says, if God does not save a man by truth, he certainly will not save him by lies. And if the old gospel is not competent to work a revival, then we will do without the revival. What is Spurgeon saying? Spurgeon is saying that we come to our senses when we come to a realization of the truth. We are formulated by the truth. Prior to this, we are living a life of deception. The truth sets us free. You see, I become in sync with God when I realize that I've lost my way. I have drifted from Him. Some of you may be there right now. As you think about drifting, before he left the pig pen, the prodigal had his mind changed. Before he physically got out of that pig pen, his mind left the pig pen, and he thought about how life was different for those who stayed with his dad at home. He thought about how the servants had it better for him. Before he leaves his father's home, his mind had already left his father's home. Things were going well. Things got so good, we think that maybe something is better somewhere else. Maybe God is a killjoy. I mean, that's what Adam and Eve thought. They had everything they needed, and yet they fell into sin. So how do we go through this whole process of being in sync with God? How do we go through this process of actually being transformed? Well, number one, I will become transformed when I get fed up with where I am. You never find God while you're running or hiding from Him. That's the children's game of hide and seek. But I discovered that adults also play this game. The other day I was talking to my son, and my son is wrestling with some decisions, and I'm trying to help him navigate through those decisions. And at somewhere about halfway through our conversation, he says, Dad, this conversation is getting really uncomfortable and awkward. And I said to my son, you know why this conversation is getting uncomfortable and getting awkward? It's because you don't want to absorb the truth of this conversation. You want to hide from the truth. And it's uncomfortable because the truth is being exposed to you in the reality of this decision that you're about to make. You see, we position ourselves in hiding, and then we pretend that God can't be found. Come out, come out, come out wherever you are, right? The game of hide and seek. Well, how long do you want to stay fed up? We start to overcome being fed up when we fess up. Luke 15:13. He wasted everything and he began to starve when he finally came to his senses. Right? He began to starve. He wasted everything. Pause. When he finally came to his senses. Try to fix it on your own. He felt the consequences. You have become an enabler if you are giving in to somebody who is not embracing the truth. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 13, it says, when you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me, and when you want to find me more than anything else. Kind of reminds me of a story of a seminary professor told me when I was in seminary. And there was a young man who respected a professor and respected the knowledge that that man had for God and the relationship that this man had with God. And so he said to his seminary professor, well, how in the world can I have that love for God like you have? So the seminary professor says, well, let's go for a walk. And they walked down by the edge of the river. And they kneeled over by the edge of the river. And the seminary professor took the young man by the back of the neck and pushed him down into the river, held his head under the water. And the man squirming and fighting the professor. And finally, after a few seconds that felt like several minutes, the seminary professor pulled him up out of the water. And the man is choking and coughing and water's going out of his nostrils. And he says to the seminary professor, why in the world did you do that to me? He says, you wanted me to explain to you how to have the passion that I have for God and how to know God and how to have a relationship with Him. And he says, when you become desperate enough that you so want God as much as you wanted that next breath of air when you were held underwater, then you will begin to understand and know who God is. Jeremiah says, when you get serious about finding me and you want it more than anything else, then you will find me. Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 4, But if there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you look for him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. So we will become in sync with God when we get fed up and we fess up. But number two, we will be in sync with God when we own up to our sin. Luke 15, finally, it says that the prodigal came to his senses. And he says, Father, I have made a mistake. I'll come home if you change a few things at the house. Well, no, he didn't say that, did he? I added that. He didn't put a caveat. He didn't say, let's make a deal. He says, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. Now, this is a missing element, I believe, in our culture today. Because when we mess up, we say to somebody, oh, meet me halfway. I was a little bit wrong here, but you caused me to lose my temper. Full repentance is how we have full ownership of our sin. Not meeting me halfway. It's saying, Lord, against you and you in heaven have I sinned. You see, we move away by getting away and giving away. We move away from God that we love and the people of God that we love, and we connect with spiritual forces in dark places and people who don't represent our core values. That's what happened to the prodigal son. It wasn't the dad's fault. It wasn't because he was an overbearing dad. Because we have used God and his people, we also become used by others. We have caused hurt because we have been hurt. You see, excuses eliminated as to why you did something. Call it what it is. Call it sin. I rebelled against the God of heaven and against my Father. You see, when we sin, it's against God and others. Sin breaks our fellowship with God and the ones that we sin against. Isaiah 59:2 says, it is because of your sins that he doesn't hear you. It is your sins that separate you from God when you try to worship him. You see, sin always separates us from God. Many of us are very familiar with Psalm 51. It's David's penitent psalm. In verses 1 through 4, it says, David is speaking a prayer unto God. Be merciful to me, God, because of your constant love. Because of your great mercy, wipe away my sins. Wash away all my evil and make me clean from my sin. I recognize my faults. I am always conscious of my sins. I have sinned against you, only against you, and done what you consider evil. So you are right in judging me. You are justified in condemning me. David says, against you I have sinned. God is justified in condemning me. You know, when David went through that whole ordeal with that affair that he had with Bathsheba and then killing her husband Uriah, David broke 7 of the 10 commandments. David had a choice, confession or depression. Isaiah 1:18 says, no matter how deep the stain of your sin, I can take it and I can make it as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make it white as wool. You see, we all backslide to various degrees. The sooner we deal with it, the quicker we get past it. Don't just drift along. Paul said to the Corinthian believers, test yourselves to make sure that you are solid in the faith. Don't just drift along. Taking everything for granted, give yourself regular checkups. If you fail the test, do something about it. Here are 7 habits that need to be tested. Habit number 1 would be, I would call it the test of Scripture. That is, understand the Scripture as the ultimate guide of our lives. Psalm 1:1-2. Blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Habit number 1 is my life being filtered through Scripture. Am I walking not in the counsel of the wicked? Is my delight in the law of the Lord? Number 2 habit, I would call it the supplication habit. Daily seeking God in prayer. Now, this is an imperative that is given to us in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Pray continuously. Pray without ceasing. Daily supplication. Have I created this habit of praying daily? Habit number 3 is remain devoted to follow Christ no matter what. This is what I would call the Savior test. They all begin with the letter S, as you have noticed. The supplication test and the Savior test. And number one was the Scripture test. But here, do I remain devoted to following Christ no matter what? 2 Timothy 2 says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. Am I devoted to following Christ in good days and in bad days? Habit number four would be living each day guided by the Holy Spirit. I'd call this the Spirit test. Galatians 5, live by the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit and let us walk in the Spirit every day being guided by the Spirit of God. Habit number five, I call this the Saints test, right? Remain accountable to God's house and God's people. Hebrews 10:25. Oh, we love this, right? Some would call this the Baptist anthem. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. You see, when we go to church, we are accountable to one another. We are encouraging one another. That's why we need to consistently be involved in the lives of other believers. You see, if you're not hanging out with the saints, then you're hanging out with the ain'ts. And the ain'ts are going to take you in the wrong direction. Every one of us need that accountability that comes along with iron sharpening iron. Well, habit number six, I call this the sanctification habit. Remain obedient in separation from the spirit of this world. 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? No, God has great delight as we are obedient to his word. That's how we become holy. Listen, we become holy the more we are lining up with God's word. So many people wrongly think, well, let me sin a lot so I can make a lot of sacrifices and let me be a recipient of God's great grace. But Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. How can we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? You see, you're not a strong believer if you're constantly falling into sin. You're a strong believer if you are constantly obeying the word of God. That is how you become holy. Number seven, last but not least, is the service habit. Seek to serve by giving to the body out of thanks to God. Serving one another. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God because of the service by which you have proved yourselves. Men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. So here are seven habits that when you keep them in check will allow you to be in sync with God. So today we've learned so far that you're going to get in sync with God when you're fed up with your sin and when you own up to your sin. And number three, when you offer up yourself. Offer up yourself. That is giving of myself so that God can use me. Now, there's a problem with being a living sacrifice, and that is living sacrifices tend to crawl off the altar. That's one of the things, if you're a living sacrifice, you can do that. You can crawl off the altar. But as you will offer up yourself, you'll see that God will use you in ways that you never thought are possible. Well, we've got one more to cover before we finish up the broadcast today. We talked about being fed up, and then we own up, and then we offer up, and now we give up gratitude. We don't sing now because we're good. We sing because God is good. You see, a transformed heart is always recognized by a transformed mouth. You can't help but share the blessings of forgiveness. Luke chapter 15, the Father says, we must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and he has returned to life. He was lost and he's found. So the party began. The psalmist put it this way, sing to God, sing praises to his name, lift up a song to him. His name is the Lord, exalt him before the throne. David put it this way in Psalm 13:6, I will sing unto the Lord because he is good. Now, I'm not the world's best singer, and I'll be the first to admit that, but we don't sing to sound good. We sing because God is good. I kid around, I says, I'm a prison singer. Behind a few bars and looking for the right key. Singing lifts a depressed heart. Group singing increases our emotional health and it allows us to live longer. I want to encourage you to sing praises unto the Lord. As you think about singing praises unto the Lord, we have this opportunity to have a transformed life. You know, hundreds of thousands of Christians in Hong Kong have been mobilizing, and the reason that they're mobilizing is so that they can have freedom from a communist-controlled court. They sing songs that were written way back in the 1970s. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Singing praises unto the Lord. You know, if Hong Kong Christians who are under communism can sing praises unto the Lord, how much more should we be singing praises unto the Lord? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Lord, our prayer today is that we will praise you in the good times, we'll praise you in the bad times. Lord, we so want to be in sync with you. We want our lives to be in congruent with you, our thoughts, our emotions, our entire being. Help us to live out this will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.